Okay, welcome back to Pastor's Roundtable. I'm your host, Josh Squires. And our fearless leader, Derek Thomas, is out in Colorado this week. He's visiting his son, Owen, so we hope that he has a good time there. But that means he's not here with us. You've got the remaining pastors, Gabe Fleur, David Lawton, and Brian Bolt. Gentlemen, thank you for being here with me.
Thank you, Josh.
Thanks for having us, Josh.
Absolutely. So we're just continuing to work through questions that we've received by listeners. Man, I just love the fact that, A, we have a listener other than my mom, and B, that those listeners send us questions. The questions that our listeners send are always better than the questions that we generate ourselves.
Hi, Josh's mom.
Yeah. Hi, my mom. She was fully 50% of the listenership of pretty much every other podcast that I did. The other 50% was Melanie. So this week's question is, if you weren't doing ministry, if you couldn't do ministry vocationally, what else do you think that you would have pursued as far as a career? And Gabe Fleur, would you mind starting us off?
Thanks so much, Josh. Yes, I'd be happy to. You sent this question to us. I immediately thought of Charles Spurgeon's words to his students when he said, if you can do anything else, do it. When they asked him about going into the ministry. If you can do anything else, do it. And I think those are just wise words. So for me, it's been so long since I even remember what I wanted to do before I became a Christian, was called to the ministry. But, you know, late in my college years, I was contemplating going in the law direction. And so was going to go off to law school. And then the Lord called me to pastoral ministry. And at this point now, I mean, I can't honestly imagine, nor would I want to do anything else. So pastoral ministry presents unique challenges that I think a lot of careers don't. And it's not like pastors have it harder than others, but there are some things that are very, very different in this field. So it certainly is one that causes you to think about what you've chosen a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm Dan Jordan, pastor of PCA Church there, said once, if you want to understand the difference between my job and yours, I did two funerals of a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old.
Oh.
He said, that's how our jobs differ. You know, and that, when he was saying that between me and him, but like when somebody asked him about being a pastor, that, you know, he's like, you want to understand the difference between being a pastor and something else. So it's got its unique challenges, but so does every field. But it is, to me, it's the greatest job in the world.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't rather do anything else and don't want to think about doing it.
Yeah. If I could ask a follow-up question. So you were thinking about doing law before you were saved and kind of went down the ministry track. Was there something about law or the law field that really attracted you?
Well, I did an undergraduate degree in philosophy, which means when you graduate with that, 25 cents at the time, you could get a piece of gum.
Right, right.
So I always was fascinated by the logic side of things. Most of my philosophical work was centered on logic and formal and symbolic arguments, things like that. So that's where I think the attraction came from, was I always loved working through the more mathematical side of philosophy and seeing how the arguments were put together.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And like Gabe, you're a brilliant mind, as everybody knows, and that sort of logical progression, I think would have served you well, obviously, in law, but I think serves us really well as a church and those who sit under your preaching and teaching. And I know that whenever I have anybody who has questions, especially about that would go down the apologetics route where logic is really what is needed, man, you're my first referral. I really praise the Lord that I get to labor alongside you.
You are way too kind to say that. I know one thing after finishing my doctoral studies, and that's that I don't know much.
I completely understand that. Completely understand. Okay, DHL, how about you? If you couldn't do ministry, is there a particular vocation that would have attracted you, you know, as you were post-grad or even now, that something that would excite you?
Josh, thanks. That is a great an intriguing question, especially in that I came to know Christ at a relatively early age, fifth grade, the first in my family of origin to come to know the saving love of Jesus. My life changed significantly as I came to know Christ, and new interests, new desires that I never had. And even the books that I read just began to have an appetite for missionary biographies and other Christians as I was coming along. And since a desire, at least, for some type of gospel ministry as early as middle school, a desire.
Wow, that's awesome.
And certainly I'm need the Lord's grace and mercy so much. But so it's hard to imagine doing anything else, in that there's that strong sense of call. And I appreciated so much what Gabe was saying, quoting Charles Spurgeon, there are inherent challenges in gospel ministry, but it is an immense privilege. And while God honors every endeavor done in Jesus's name for his glory, or to take all thoughts captive, and all of our efforts are to demonstrate our commitment and love for the Lord Jesus, you know, whether that's serving in a medical career or landscaping endeavor or whatever, I'm thankful and really haven't, it's hard to imagine doing anything else. My hand is to the plow, and it is a glorious privilege to know of his mercy to this sinner, saving me from my sin, and then not only calling me to Jesus through his mercy and redeeming love, but also calling me to gospel ministry. So I don't have a really good answer for you. The things I piddle with, I don't think I could really make a living really doing. I enjoy some other things, but I'm thankful that the Lord has called me to gospel ministry and called me with you brothers and with our dear congregation here at First Press Columbia.
That's amazing. And I mean,
amen.
Just so our listeners know, I don't think there's any subject on anything that I've ever talked about that David Lawton didn't already pretty much know about. So, David, I think you are as broadly gifted a human being as I know, and could probably pick up just about anything and succeed at it. And for the Lord to make that specific a call on your life that early and for it to be that consistent is absolutely amazing.
Amen.
So, Brian, how about you, brother? Any particular vocation that you pursued, again, you know, that you thought of when you were young or pursued for a time, or even now that catches your eye that you think, if I weren't able to do ministry, man, that is the sort of thing that I would like to do?
Yeah, like David said, this is an extremely intriguing question. You know, in my past career before ministry, I was a teacher and a coach. My undergrad degrees were in biology and education. And so I was a teacher and a basketball coach and athletic director before and during seminary. So I taught science and I coached basketball mainly, dabbled in some other sports, but really enjoyed discipling young people through that means. So that was kind of my ministry then. As I shared before, I had something of a calling, I discerned something of a calling back in college, but it took me a few years to figure out what that looked like and before I went to seminary. So during that time, I dabbled in teaching and coaching and thoroughly enjoyed that. But also, like my brothers have said, can't believe that I have the unspeakable privilege of being paid to help people know Jesus. I can't imagine a profession in which I didn't have the regular opportunity to share my faith. And I know there are some professions in which employees don't feel that freedom to do that on a regular basis. I count myself very blessed to have always been in a job where I did have the freedom to share my faith. But now, what a blessing to not have to hold back, to be able to freely share my love for the Lord and to help others along in that. And so I feel truly blessed beyond measure being the ministry number one, and secondly, to minister with you guys and to be on our team. So it's a great privilege and blessing that I'm very thankful for.
Do you miss anything about teaching or coaching or being in like that teacher setting at all?
Well, I guess direct contact with young people, even though I equally love older people, obviously. Yep. That's where my focus is.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the course of congregational life, I love running into young people, teenagers, kids, my own kids' age.
Yeah.
And being able to fellowship with them on a regular basis is something I do miss from my teaching and coaching days.
Yeah.
But glad to be doing what I'm doing, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something, when I was in Jackson, probably half of my caseload was with adolescents. And so there's something invigorating about being around that, but utterly maddening at the same time.
Equal parts.
Yeah, equal parts. That's exactly right. You think you're headed in one direction just to find out the next day or the next hour you're headed in the exact opposite direction. So I could totally understand that. Let me attempt an answer at this. So, you know, my background's maybe a little bit more varied. I started an IT company when I was 15, and that always sounds very industrious and smart. It was neither. I just hung out with people who were. If, you know, we all have gifts that the Lord gives us, and my gift that he has given me from the time I was very young was to hang out with people smarter than me. And so that continues to this day, that I get to be on staff with all you incredibly brilliant men. And even back then, when I was an adolescent, I got to hang out with guys who were smart and smarter than I was, and were kind of headed on a computer trajectory. And I got to help them study. And so anyway, all of that led to opening kind of this, you know, run around, help people troubleshoot their home computer sort of deal. And then that led to certifications. And so I was a systems engineer. By the time I was 20, got on with a Fortune 100 company there in Memphis when I was 21, and then spent 5 years as a system engineer with AutoZone in Memphis. And then after that, went to school to do counseling and was a kind of standalone counselor. Again, started another business and was a standalone counselor for a while. And so this question for me is a little bit odd, because there are things that I've done before and could fall back on, I guess. Should for whatever reason, ministry would ever be taken away, though the IT background is completely gone. If anyone needs someone to troubleshoot Microsoft Server 2000, I'm your guy, right? But my IT knowledge stops 15, 20 years ago. So, but there are things that I could do, I could probably do and fall back on, but nothing, and I mean nothing, has ever felt like home as compared to being in gospel ministry. And I think I fought that for a long time, and now that I'm here, I would fight tooth and nail to remain here. I love that my vocation, though I feel completely inept to be the person to do it, that my vocation gets to be about the gospel, and that every moment I've got the freedom and authority to be talking about Jesus. And in fact, that's what's expected of me, is to be talking about Jesus. And I really cannot imagine anything better than that. So I would grieve mightily if, for whatever reason, this vocation was taken from me. And then I guess we would just see what happened from there. All right. Any thoughts, comments, questions as we wrap this up?
I've got a couple of ancient computers at home, Josh, so let's talk later.
Right. Okay. As long as they're like Windows 3.1, DOS 6.2, I'm your guy.
I saw a lot of this chimed in as well.
Yeah. Novell NetWare. I'm your dude, right? I can troubleshoot some Novell NetWare from 1999. So good on that. All right. Brian, would you mind closing us in prayer?
Happy to. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the high and holy calling of gospel ministry, and not just gospel ministry, but all kinds of different professions that you call and equip people just the way you see fit to serve you and to further your kingdom through every vocation. But we are so thankful, Father, for the great privilege of serving you at First Presbyterian Church on this staff. I thank you for my brothers, and I ask your continued help on them and your Holy Spirit's equipping and your words guiding in their ministry. And may it all be done for the glory of God. And we pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, gentlemen.
Amen. Thank you, Josh. Thanks, Josh.
Yep.
You're my IT guru.
You're in a world of hurt. If that is true, you are in a world of hurt. All right, bye guys.
See ya.